July 11, 2017, regular meeting.
Board to order, said pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. There's a mistake here. This is June 21st, and this is... We'll take a look at, everybody had a chance to look at the June 13th minutes. Is there any corrections on there?
Eric, I think you had one on the regular meeting, is that right?
On June 13th? You got it, okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes for the June?
Cheryl might have some. Cheryl, do you have something? Do you have anything for the minutes? Sorry, I thought you...
Just that my name was missing from attendees.
Oh, important. On the 13th? Yes, thank you.
Any other corrections? Motion to accept the minutes for June 13th, 2017.
Make a motion that we accept the minutes for June 13th with corrections.
Correction. Second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye. I'll vote present since I wasn't here.
Okay. Thanks, Eric. All right. And I understand that the June 21st, we have some corrections on there, and there is only three pages here. So if we take our times here, I think we can get these corrected. And Eric, I believe you had some corrections there.
I'd rather move the table because I left all that in my office.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. We will table that then. The June 21st, 2017, we will table.
He's seconding it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's seconding it.
Was there a motion to table that? Is there a second on that?
I'll second it, Jim.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried. We will table that. Okay. Okay, Catherine.
Thank you.
You are up.
You have the usual papers for the financial report. The first one is a profit and loss budget performance. And if you notice on the far right-hand side, I've used 2.5 months since May, June, and we're halfway into July because I've paid many bills for July already. So 21% is 2.5 months into the fiscal year. The total income the total water receipts are $135,429 for the month. And that makes a total of the third column so far this year in just water is $314,638. Looking down the line, I have some boxes in gray. I'll talk about those later, unless you want me to That's under the title called Financial Reporting.
Go ahead, we'll talk about it later.
Okay. The income then for the month is first column, halfway down the page, $137,211.31. Third column then for the year, total income is $328,434.08. Then expenses are listed, the same list as we've seen before. So toward the middle of this backside, the total expenses for the month are $110,483. Expenses for the year so far, 2.5 months, $297,283. And looking across, that's 16% of the budget, so we're actually under budget. Then the vendors are shown on the second sheet in alphabetical order. Vendors may or may not be on the profit and loss report, of course, because their payments out of liability accounts payments out of liability accounts or the sewer payments now are not going to show up on the report for profit and loss, but they will show up. All the vendors are listed here, no matter what or where. The vendors are all listed so that you see an exact accounting of every vendor that has been paid. Starting on June 14th, which was the day after the last meeting, till today, the total payments were $79,444 for the vendors. So if you have any questions about any profit and loss for the vendors, I'd be glad to answer them or look up something that I don't know.
Okay, Catherine, you want to explain the gray areas?
Okay, the gray areas are on the agenda, it's letter C, financial reporting. This year, with the assistance of X Schaefer and Punk, we're going to start reporting only income and expenses and not payments that are, we will report payments that are going to other, the debt service accounts, but it will not record them as income on this profit. So the big difference will be the profit and loss report. The vendor report will remain the same. Every single vendor that's paid will show up on that paper. But previously, do you remember right before we had the bottom of the income, it showed the different payments that were made into the debt service accounts, and they showed up as income so that they were seen by the board, I believe, is probably the purpose. I don't really know. It was that way when I got here. But they're not income to the board or to the district. So we're going to, the financial reports for profit and loss will be based on the budget, as we budget. And so it's going to be much more in keeping with the budget and be more true facts and figures of profit and loss than it was in the past. So Eric, do you have anything else to say about that?
It's probably the same approach as we approach the budget.
Yes.
You do operating, then you do your debt service, then you do your CapEx.
So the profit and loss will have the capital expenditures, but it will not have the debt service on here as far as the total amounts. But it will list how much is paid into the debt service And that's at the bottom of the backside of the profit and loss, account numbers $8,000, $8,050, and $8,250. Those are the three bond and interest payment accounts and depreciation accounts that we make a transfer from the operating account every month into those reserves. And they will continue to show up on this report because they are expenses, but they weren't income, so they won't show up on the income anymore. That's the way it was done. It's okay, things change. So that's the basic difference. On the front side of the profit and loss report, where I have the gray box around sewer receipts, there won't be sewer receipts there. The only thing that will show up there is the amount of money in account number 4071, Sangamon County Water Reclamation. That's the sewer district. And we get to keep $1 from every customer that is paying us sewer. They pay the money to us for sewer, their sewer service, and we pay it on to Sangamon County Water Reclamation. We don't keep any of that money. So it's going to be accounted for in a liability account, and the only funds that will show up on our report are the amount that we keep $1 per customer. So this month it was $567. So far this year for 2 months, it's $1,134. And then the other gray box in the income, 4502, renter deposits, we're going to now use a liability account 2030. So again, that will not show up on the finance report because it's liability. And it comes in and then it just sits there on the financial statement and then it is paid out when the renter leaves and the deposit is given back, or it's used to pay their water bill if they so choose. Any questions about that?
Any questions? Okay.
I got a question on the bill pay. What did we pay to hack the company?
Hawk.
Hawk?
For that pH?
Yeah.
pH probe for the water plant. We have to do daily testing on that, and it's a piece of equipment.
Normal range is 4 hours.
Yes. There's what's called probes on them, and the membrane on them, they get wore out, and you only get so much use out of them.
Okay.
Any other questions? Catherine, you have anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the profit loss budget performance and to pay the bills?
I'll make a motion that we accept the profit and loss budget statement pending audit.
And pay the bills?
And I'll make that a separate.
Okay. Is there a second on that?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Is there a motion to pay the bills?
I'll make a motion that we pay the bills as presented.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Eric, second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Bills paid. Manager's report.
Thank you, Jim. We opened bids last month for life cycle removal. I have reviewed their bid and we checked out. We accepted it. They also provide the necessary liability insurance coverage to the district. And as a side note, it's construction work, you know, we always do it after the harvest and before the ground freezes. They do have the capability that works with us if we needed to, it's a schedule on construction. They've got a mine shaft that can dump it down.
Oh, wow.
So if we have to do it before, and at same price, because I said, well, I'll pay you after, here's the price. So, you know, that's a.
Added perk.
An option if we got it, so.
That's great.
We're required by the EPA to collect 20 lead copper samples throughout our distribution system. That's on a three-year maintenance program. In past years, we have no detects on any of the lead samples. We expect the same this time. And the newsletter that Sheriff put together on the back page is a copy that National Rural Water put out, because we do have to notify our customers. And as you'll notice, we highlighted that Curry Gardner has no lead lines. And when the time comes, we will be asking for a waiver for the entire law because of that fact. So, but you know, we'll put the word out that we have to.
That's good.
The cleaning of the clarifier that will remain after the plant expansion has been completed. Over the years, we kind of chipped away at it, but over time it just got hardened up like concrete. We hired Bodine, they brought 10,000 PSI power washer in. They knocked it off, did a good job. Aaron was the operator, called the first week after it was cleaned, and we were able to produce more gallons per minute. The flock blanket looks a lot better now, and it needed it. So
yeah, good.
We're good there.
Good.
There's no public here, so what we had, we collect 7 distribution samples every month. We collect 1 from each of our wells. And once in a while, we get an unsatisfactory one. Now, when I say unsatisfactory, it doesn't mean it's deadly. It's a coliform hit. It's not a deep hole or anything like that. But we got one over around Curran, and the kicker was it came from a dedicated sample tap that we put in just for that purpose. And the drill is you take another one upstream, downstream. We did that. The upstream, downstream came back good. The original site came back bad. We did it again, same thing again. So we reviewed it. It looks like the sample tap's been damaged, which regardless of why, we would have to do a survey plus a tier 3 public notice. And I talked to Andrea back and forth at EPA, and she said, write me a letter asking to invalidate those samples. And then we took another sample so we'd have the right number of samples. So we received the report that was invalidated, and so we're good, no reports. Again, that's one of those things that it happens everywhere, but people don't understand it, and they really pray to understand it. At the same time, we're giving them a rain hike.
Yeah.
So, but we're good. We're good on that. But one of the things I did trade off with, we're going to get new sample signs. But we can't cancel that. So, they're putting those in this week. So, we come out pretty well on that. And the well crew for Water Well Solutions, they come in and pulled the pump motor in the bowls here about a month ago, took it back, and they're reworking them. The pump bowls, which is the bottom part, they were put in 2001, and they just literally fell apart. And so they're coming in, they're replacing all that brand new, so that well, and once they get it back in, they're going to clean the well, put a new sample side tap over there, and we should be good to go on that. So,
what well is that?
Well 5.
Well 5, okay.
Kind of short report. If there's any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Any questions for the manager? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. All right. Carol?
Jim, just to let you know that the website has been updated. You've all been approved.
Cheryl, can you speak up just a little bit? I'm a little bit hard here.
The website has been updated with all the agendas and the approved minutes and the audio files. So those are all up to date. We also added on the homepage the rules, rates, and regulations buttons, so it will populate the ordinance that was passed at the meeting.
Great.
And I, on the draft newsletter, Eric, I did also include a blurb that states that the rules, rates, and regulations are on the website. So, one thing I did want to remind the board about, and I know you guys are going to be discussing rates out of boundaries, South Sangamon, I informed you guys in last September that they were going to be increasing their rates. They have increased their rates $1.40 per thousand to us, and I've given you the information on my memo. So I don't know if you want to revisit the South Sangamon's customers' rate structures. Previously, our rate was $8.25, so it's a significant increase. I also included the other boundaries' current rates for you as well. I think that's really all I had. I did get an email at 5:15 from Bob Ed. We are still awaiting the financial pledge of collateral that Catherine's been working on with IMB Bank to get that to her. Hope we were supposed to get it by the end of the day. We haven't gotten it, so hopefully it'll be tomorrow. She did also remind Cap that there were some things outstanding, and I think Max will touch on that from Cap. But other than that, I think we're in a holding pattern. The draft of the newsletters and the memo, there's anything you'd like to include or think that should be included. I know Jim wanted to add the board members' names on the newsletter, and I did include those, so.
I would like to see that all the board members, just let the public know, our customers know.
I think I'm trying to keep it to two pages.
Yeah.
Because our folding machine.
So we can't take, the lead those is on, I believe it's on the website already, so if you have it, we can remove that for.
I got it, you get it, so we're good.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. You'd be surprised that people are out there having a clue who's on the board.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank Eric, he wrote the first article.
I was just going to, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you tweaking the newsletter, Eric. It really helps out.
Jessica.
Somebody with some financial responsibilities, intellect there that I sure don't have. I appreciate that very much, so. Thanks a lot, and Cheryl, thank you. Anybody else? Wayne, I know you contributed to some of this here, too. So.
I just underlined and highlighted, that's all I did. Somebody else wrote that article for me.
I'm glad everybody's working together on the same page. I really appreciate it. Okay.
But that will be ready for the July billing cycle to be included.
All right. Okay. Max, you're up, my friend.
We're good. No updates on the water plant or in Berlin. Main focus has been on getting to the point of concurrence from rural development to commence with pre-construction conference. So I asked Jane to touch base, and she talked to Bobette today just to see what outstanding items Bobette still looking for. One of the issues is the contractor has to directly apply to Sangamon County for their building permit. On December 27th, we had submitted a pre-application to the county, then we're in a holding pattern until the contractor was selected. So that documentation, upon award to Leander, that documentation was sent to Leander. There's a Megan Smith is a project manager at Leander that's working on that, and they're looking at a one-week turnaround time to have that in hand. Because of the fact we didn't award the alternates going across the Sangamon River, that eliminated three documents that the county had to have. So that should expedite their review. The state engineer has issued his concurrence with all the contract documents, so we have his blessing now on everything that's been executed by all parties. And that was one of the key triggers for moving forward with the loan closing. The outstanding items as of today from CAP, and Jane's got feedback from CAP that these are forthcoming imminently, so the certification that the water district complies with applicable state statutes and requirements. Water district meets federal, state, and local requirements per item 4 of section 1 loan closing instructions. And those are the only two items that Jane was able to see were still outstanding.
Can you say those again? Sorry about that.
You bet.
Certification.
Certification on O'Keefe's letterhead that the water district complies with applicable state statutes and requirements as stated in paragraph 11B of the letter of conditions dated April 1st of 2016. And the certification that the water district meets federal, state, and local requirements per item number 4 of section I of the loan closing instructions for general counsel instruction dated 3/30/17.
Got it. Thank you.
So with that, I talked about that tonight, and she said, given the fact that these outstanding items are imminent, they're comfortable with us selecting a date for the pre-construction conference. So again, the big trigger there was the concurrence on the executed documents. So with that said, it can behooves us now to look at our calendars and check availabilities and throw some dates out there. When works for everybody. We're looking at the daytime pre-construction. We typically like to do it between 10 and 2 or 10 and 3. So that being said, I've got an opening on the 20th of this month, be a week from this coming Thursday. I'll be on vacation the week of the 24th and be back the following week. So
now, Max, I'm assuming that means you're doing like with press and stuff. Is that what you're saying? You're just, what are you, you're having a date for what?
Pre-construction conference is where the water district issues the notice to proceed.
So you're setting a date for what?
It's called a pre-construction conference.
Pre-construction
conference. Are we required to be here?
You are required to have a representative. It does not have to be a full meeting of the board.
Pre-construction what?
Pre-construction conference. It does have to be full meeting of the board.
That's correct.
And how long does that usually take?
Typically an hour.
What? 1 hour?
Yeah. And we have a pre-formatted set of minutes specific to rural development project. We've got a standard set, but because of RD involvement, there are some specific criteria that the contractor has to comply with during construction that's unique to RD. To go through some of the things, you guys have gotten a copy of the bulletin. With the change in administration, there's a new detail on the rural development construction side. So we have to have that instruction and feedback from the contractor as to where we'll allow him to place the construction sign. Again, like I said, these are things unique to RD funded jobs. It's nothing we're not accustomed to dealing with on those type of projects, but it is a checklist that we go through. So we talk about subcontractor coordination, construction scheduling, staging areas, where we want the contractor to put his job trailer so it doesn't affect day-to-day operations for the water district. Sequencing. We look at what the contractor's anticipating for sequencing of work. We lay out a time frame for the contractor to deliver us his project schedule, because he'll put together a Gantt chart of his activities, and then that is our month-to-month test on his progress. So we will gauge performance based on that schedule. So those are the kind of things that we address during pre-construction conference. Contact information for all the relevant parties, including the construction observer, myself, Wayne, and water district staff, and phone numbers, so who to call, if there's a rainout date, who gets notified, when. So, again, those are the typical type of things we talk about. We identify each party's responsibility, things that the district is to provide, things that we're to provide, things the contractor is to provide. We identify safety protocols, who's responsible for job site safety, and site activity coordination we require that the contractor has a designated representative on site whenever activities are occurring. So, again, it's, I don't want to make it sound too dry, but it's a very regimented list of things that we go through that puts the contractor on notice. And at the conclusion of that, when the meeting is done, we have everybody that attends sign in, and then the attendees will receive an official set of minutes that they acknowledge. And so everybody that has attended concurs with the content of that conference. So from a liability standpoint, the contractor says, yes, I agree that I am responsible for job site safety. We're not, you're not. And so again, those are a lot of the objectives from this conference. So there isn't anything that requires board motion or action. The one thing that we'll do, and Jim, it's helpful if you're available. If you're not,
whatever time, date, time, I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, call me.
The thing that that we'll accomplish at that meeting is your signature on the notice to proceed, the actual execution of that date. The contractor will sign that. That will culminate with the final sign off, if you will, on those contract documents. We'll bring those back to our office, collate executed copies for everybody, and then everybody that's a party to the contract gets a final set of executed documents. Those are the documents that we ask go in a safe place in the file cabinet, because that has bonds, insurance, the things that we hopefully don't look at on a day-to-day basis. And then to that end, if the water district feels it's beneficial that they have extra working copies of the specifications, we're glad to provide those for use on a day-to-day basis. But we discourage flipping through the executed sets on a daily basis just to preserve the integrity of those documents. That's really the, kind of in a nutshell, what that event will do, and that is the start of the contractor's clock. And we more than likely delay the actual start date. It won't coincide with that meeting date. We typically go to the next working Monday to start his clock.
Okay.
So it makes
well, I'm looking at July. Is there a date that you have that you...
Like I said, the 20th, I would be available from 10:30 or 11 o'clock to 2 p.m.
Okay.
That would be available on the 21st.
On my list, I got you, and I'd like to have Wayne there and myself there. And if any other board member would like to be there, that's fine with me too. Eric, would you like to be there? Or, you know, it don't make any difference to me, you know.
No matter what, you should probably post it just so you don't have a conflict.
Sure.
Yeah, probably just one other board member, maybe. Okay.
This has got nothing, it's just...
Go ahead. I got myself and Max and Wayne, since Wayne's going to be over here. Todd, would you want to be there?
Oh, I'm going to be there with bells on.
If there's
yes,
minutes, because he said there's a standard template of minutes that will be used, then we should definitely post it.
I'll post it. Just, it's no big deal.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
No stress.
Is the 20th good for you?
I'll do what I can.
And we're talking between 10 and 2?
Right.
On the 20th?
On the 20th.
So, Max, do you need me there?
No.
Okay, good.
Not really.
And the 20th is on a Thursday?
Mm-hmm. I have to be in St. Clair County.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
If either the 20th or earlier on the 21st doesn't work, What I would like to do is look at the week of the 31st as backup days, because, you know, we've got a, Bob Bett wants to attend, and obviously we have to have the contractor there, so I don't know what the contractor's commitments are.
Okay.
Again, I just had this conversation with Bob Bett tonight, so that set a motion forward picking this date. But the week of the 31st, what does everybody's schedule look like? 31st itself looks good for me.
I think you guys decided the 20th. Is it not good?
I'm looking for backup dates.
Oh, backup dates. Did you say the 21st is the second alternative date? So you're looking for a third one?
Yeah, I'm looking for.
Okay, sorry, I'm just trying to make notes.
Yeah. So the week of the 31st, are there any no-go dates for you, Wayne, or Todd?
My schedule's all, I mean, my daytime schedule's bananas, so I'm just gonna have to make mine work, so.
Are mornings typically better, or midday?
Morning would be better.
Okay.
But I don't want to dictate whatever.
We'll ebb and flow as much as we can for everybody's constraints. Anybody on this side looking at me there?
About what can, if it's pops, it pops.
Good.
And we'll meet here?
Yeah.
Okay, just let me know date, rather the time.
Very good.
And.
We'll reach out to the contractor tomorrow to determine their availability. And then, once we get their feedback, again, I'll verify with Bob Bett. Bob Bett is also going the week of the 24th, so.
Yeah, the sooner the better.
You bet.
That's what I want to do.
We'll push for the 20th, and we'll see if we can make that work.
I got a financial question for you. Will you go over draws? And like draws are due on the third day of each month, or?
We actually, that's a very good question. That's part of the regimented agenda for this conference. We talk about the process. And the process starts with the designated construction representative from the contractor meets with our construction observer and goes over their anticipated quantities for the next draw. And since this is a lump sum unit price, we're not paying per foot of pipe, it's going to be based on percentages. And so there is a bit of give and take on what we believe is a representative percentage for each of those line items. And so our inspector will meet with contractor's rep, and they'll agree on percentage levels. Once that occurs, he'll forward that to their accounting department. They will draft a preliminary draw request. They'll kick that back to our inspector, initial off on it, and then kick it to our department for Jane and myself to go through. Jane typically looks at all the math, and then kicks it to me, and then I'll work with Wayne, and we'll come to a consensus. Once we reach consensus, we'll kick it back to Leander to execute four copies of a monthly draw request in a standardized form that they apply on. And then we will advise the water district that this will be an agenda item, and here's the anticipated amount for that month's draw. So you'll get a pre-notification. The scheduling for that, we embed a typical 7-day minimum lead time for that review and give and take to occur, so that we're not handed this thing on a Monday afternoon saying, we'd like this to occur on tomorrow's agenda. That's typically a no-go, and they wait a month. In our experience in working with Leander, this is something they're very accustomed to. And so we will not get blindsided by last-minute draw requests.
And the contingency is 10?
The
contingency is 10%. They were talking
the contingency, but also the we have a reserve that we deduct out 10% for retainage out of every draw request until we get near conclusion. So you'll see a line item on the draw request that says retainage. So there'll be a value of work completed to date. 10% occurs on that next line item. That's deducted from the value of work complete. So you'll see actually every month a running total of how much we're holding in the bank of their total to date.
Do we actually have to keep that in the bank and pay interest on it, or does it sit on the loan?
You actually will not draw it.
Will not?
Right.
Okay. So remember that captain.
Yeah, and so when you see, we'll help you fill out the month-to-month draw request, we'll only pull down what's due the contractor for that pay period, and we won't pull down the full value. We'll leave that with RD. So it's, you won't have a slush fund, have reserve money sitting in an account somewhere. So that's, again, I'm sorry if that's too dry, but that's.
Max, originally we looked at a 12-month building season. They added a few months because the special order or some of the stuff.
Right.
With the time that we've, did they go ahead and get some of that ordered?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they don't incur any pre-order or expense, just simply for the fact that until the ink is dry on the agreements, they're not going to commit.
I believe it was 16 or 18. Total.
16.
15.
And in last month's minutes, you said we had to give them a dedicated space. Where's that going to be for drawings?
They'll have a job trailer that they have a drafting table.
Okay, so not typically.
We have. No, I don't recommend it. And again, they're accustomed to pulling a trailer in. The biggest thing for us is making sure it's located to where it's not an interference item for lime delivery, chemical delivery, and trucks moving in and out.
Right, copy a little bit of that here.
Yeah, they'll try to make it so it's, they don't have to walk 6 blocks to get to the trailer. So there's a little bit of coordination. And there are events where they'll move it 2 to 3 times during the job.
Any chance we could rent somebody's spot across the road?
She's not paying attention.
They want to rent your yard.
He did put the word rent in.
Yeah. She write down a number.
Can you email us or get ahold of us, give us a date? That'll be fine. Whatever the date, I'll just make it work.
Okay. And sooner the better. I agree with that.
Okay, that's all right with me. Any other questions for Max? All right. Okay. Wayne, you have anything?
Nope.
No? Okay. I don't believe I have anything. I appreciate everybody's hard work that they've been doing. And I understand you guys, Finance Committee had a meeting today. Hope you got some things ironed out. That's good. Todd, you have anything?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay. And speaking of finance, let's talk about Finance Committee. Diane?
Well, we had a good meeting earlier in regards to getting everything with accounting and our audit. Everything seems to be.
Was that with Bill?
Yes, with Bill.
Okay.
So as we move forward with everything, he's worked out with Catherine a lot of good details, made things a little bit more easier to understand. It's in categories. So next time we have our audit, he said that it should be a little bit, you know, smoother figures and better to comprehend.
Good. Anything else you got? Jim?
He did have some recommendations for us to follow through on and implement.
Okay.
And I think all three of us agreed with those were, those ideas were reasonable, realistic. So we got some work to do, but I mean, he brought forward some, you know, ideas that will help everybody along down the line.
Good deal. All right. I don't have anything on personnel. Sites over committees. Todd? All right.
Yes, Jim does.
Jim? All right. Policies and Procedures Committee?
Nothing at this time.
Nothing, okay. Ordinance Committee, Mays and Folders?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Unfinished business, Village of Kern Sewage Collection System Billing. Nothing on that yet? Okay. New business, water rate structure. Okay, we have a resolution number RES, resolution 2017-001. And I believe we should adopt this here.
It's already been adopted.
It's already been adopted.
I'm sorry, but read it into the record to let the... Did everybody get a chance to read this here?
Yeah. Hopefully it's on the website already.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the list. Do we need to approve this? What do we need to do with it?
Jim, I think we did that on the 21st.
That's what I was thinking we did.
Yeah.
Okay. And we did give it a resolution number one for the record. Okay, then if there's no... Pardon?
He asked a question on the side.
Okay. Then we will approve these rates. Resolution here. Is there any questions? Anybody have any questions on this? Okay. We need to do anything else, Cheryl, with this?
It's went to Bob Ed.
Pardon?
It's already went to Bob Ed.
Has it? Okay.
It's on the website.
Good enough.
But the question becomes, are we going to be dealing with wholesale rates from these other... Because it's kind of too late, right, Max? I mean,
This is kind of a living, breathing thing, and I think since you have no control over your satellite entities on when they do their rate adjustments, I don't know if you're bound to a one-time or a year adjustment.
Or amendment.
But in my opinion, it would behoove you to stay in step with your other vendors so that you're not taking up the deficit, you know, for that whatever lag time may be there.
We reviewed the contract with New Berlin for the Emergency Interconnect, and it was at the current minimum rate, and we just decided to make the recommendation that it be taken to the new minimum rate, with 596, I believe, Cheryl. And, you know, that way we're not going to lose grant on that.
Does this apply also with Pleasant Plains?
It would, yeah.
Okay.
Our wholesale rates for our emergency interconnects would be affected, and then also our non-Kern water folks that we our retail customers that get their water from other sources other than us. So we need to establish what this rate's going to be. This goes back to some of the controversy of the past. We've got to have some kind of a uniform means of dealing with this, and we have to add a certain percentage, like correct me if I'm wrong, we talked about quite a while ago. We have to have a means of a standard percentage of a quote-unquote profit, not a profit, but what it costs us to operate the distribution systems for all these little subdivisions. And we also have to have provision to pass along rate increases, like Cheryl warned us about South County, and here it is. We got one coming effective June 1st, it's already came. So we have to keep up with those increases somehow. And we have to do this obviously by ordinance, and I don't know if an amendment of ordinance 12 is where we're looking at. We have to establish this. This has gone on for a long time, and I don't have any real answers, but we gotta really think about this, and we've gotta get something going here And because we can't, like Max says, we're going to be behind here again with South County, and we don't want this, we don't need this to happen. And if it's okay to amend that resolution, blah, 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 as far as increases, that's good enough.
This is probably a snapshot in time, so I don't know that this is your policy to make, because I think this is...
No, but I mean, just, if we, I don't mean to interrupt, but if we make adjustments to these, what do you want to call them, these extracurricular subdivisions, is that going to affect this, what you got in your hand?
I don't think so, because again, I think this was relevant for the time that it was acted on and sent to rural development. But I think everybody here realizes it's a living, breathing dynamic on your rates. And like you said, some of the entities you have no control over. So I think the real test is what ordinance 12 says in terms of what the protocol is to react to...
Yes.
Variables outside of your control.
Exactly.
Setting rates. So I, if there's not a condition in there, I would suggest that you work with legal counsel to add an amendment or a clause in there that says that as appropriate, when the water district sees price adjustments, those adjustments get passed along to the end consumer of that water.
Exactly, yeah.
So there's kind of an immediate reaction clause. You get, and I don't know what your agreements with CWLP and South Sangamon say in terms of advance notice, if they've got to give you a 60-day lead-in before they throw an increase on, but that would, again, give you time to then advise your consumers, hey, this is coming.
Right.
And not just cold hit them with a new rate on a bill.
Would that be maybe in the governmental agreement?
It should be, yeah. And that's customary, that they build in a pre-warning clause.
Yeah. It is for big satellites, for sure. You know, see, would it be no different for a small-time satellite, if you will? But I mean, above and beyond that, coming up with a uniform rate structure for all these little subdivisions is...
We could just...
Paramount.
Basically add that as an amendment so that whenever that comes up, we can just revisit it, right?
I would, my two cents is if the office gets a notice, South Sangamon's raising rates, we automatically put an amendment for this resolution on the agenda and note the rate increase and where it is, and call it, I don't know what year it is, maybe the same year, 207-001-1, and then -2, then.
But Max, this current resolution to satisfy rural development, it does have to be amended. It has to be updated for the throughout, or is this just a, this is just to satisfy the initial loan and it's over?
This is the marker box.
That's right. Yeah, it's a checklist item. And what happens with this document is this goes to rural development's underwriters. And they look at that and say, okay, that matches what you told us in your financial projections. So we have a verifiable document that you have policy and procedure to enforce a revenue stream.
And to pay back their loan.
And that's the end game for them.
Yeah.
They go to their underwriters and say, here is their adopted policy as of the date that we're ready to close this loan. The revenue structure is verifiable and adequate to retire the debt.
Good. So anything above, and that's gravy, basically.
Yeah.
So anything, any rate increases from now on until the end of time, have nothing to do with that document is over. So our reporting of anything we do.
Yeah, because we really don't have no control over that.
No, you literally don't.
And oh, so you don't, we use it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but again, from a good housekeeping perspective, I think it helps you guys to stay in step with periodic adjustments. So you get hit with something mid-year that was outside of the scope of your planning, you don't have to just forego that. It's just a pass-through cost.
I've got, Sharon has probably a copy of the New Berlin contract, for example, and it was set at $521 per thousand, the village rate is $625 per thousand. In a notation, our unit rate increase cost after the first 2,000 was down to $596. So we should change that. But with the information about South Sangamon going up, the villages' fees would have to change too to us.
Right.
And then we would have to buy from them.
So, right.
I probably need
Is there language in that document you're holding that says when that event occurs? All Ships Rise?
Unless otherwise agreed, water rates charged for emergency use shall be the lowest current hotel or emergency connection fee in effect for any customer of the supplying party, which would be them or us. At the date of this agreement, when it was signed, our rate to them was $5.21. Well, that rates down with $5.96. The village rate is $6.25. They get South Sangamon water, so they're gonna have to pass that along too.
Okay.
Presumably $1.40 a thousand, presumably.
I'm sorry.
Presumably $1.40 a thousand, presumably. South County's rate, unless they've got some kind of other arrangement.
That's what it says, is that the lowest current wholesale rate?
Yeah. Probably need to talk to the mayor and Joel maybe and say, we need to address this just to keep parity.
Yep. That's for sure.
Any other questions on the resolution? Okay. And you say Babette, Cheryl has got copies of this now? Okay.
Can I confirm with you two that next month the assessment starts?
Middle school, that's correct.
That's
correct.
Okay, that's correct.
And we have to have a program written from Alliance to.
And that's when we're sending out the newsletter also?
Yes. Now, we're sending the newsletter out July.
July, okay.
The increase will be on the next bill.
Good. I was hoping we'd do that. All right. Anybody else has anything else?
Well, then we gotta go, we're going back to A. We're gonna have to work on this rate structure for our little, we'll call them mini satellite customers that we have. So we need to work on that. And we need to also work on our figuring out our passing along rate increases from our non-Kern Garner suppliers, our supplied water from other folks, South County, CWLP. It's probably too, unless we're prepared to talk about that tonight, which we probably aren't, we'll need to, it's up to you, I mean, Cheryl, you're.
Well, South Sangamon's increase started June 1st, so.
But we can't just, unless we have verbiage in an ordinance, we can't just pass that money. It's gotta be done by ordinance. We can't just pass that along and say, well, hell, willy-nilly, I'm gonna raise your rates $2.50 just because I don't like you. You know what I mean? It's gotta be done by ordinance. So we need to do a lot of work on that, I guess.
But they said the intergovernmental agreement said it automatically goes up on.
Well, this is one agreement. This is an intergovernmental agreement.
And that's just wholesale emergency only between two municipalities.
Right.
That's got nothing to do with retail customers.
Todd, you and
yeah, me and Jim.
Jim, want to work on that?
We'll need to review. We can review the. I can get my minutes back from, or Cheryl can make copies. No hurry. Two copies of all pertinent water rate and the subsequent amendments to Ordinance 12. Everything to do with rate structure, rate
it's
increases.
It's in my memo.
Yeah.
It's all written in my memo. There's a chart there that tells you what hotel rate is and the water rate and that kind of stuff.
Maybe sometime, Jim, we can meet with Cheryl and just talk about it,
soon.
I guess. Soon. Like, sure. You name it. Although I don't have time for it during the daytime, but I'll have to make time. You name the time, Cheryl.
You name the time and I'll be there.
So. You're pretty flexible, aren't you, Jim?
Yeah, my schedule's here, so.
I'll just have to make, I'll
just call me tomorrow.
I will. Okay. Is that all right?
Sure. Is that all right with you, Ben?
Sure.
Okay. All right. While you're on that topic, Todd, what's that subdivision that the guy always shows up?
Stone Creek.
Stone Creek. You know, with City Water, Light and Power, you never know when they're going to raise their wholesale rate. And those people, and I've said this before, those people that receive wholesale water in the subdivision, and we have a master meter there, their rates eventually may go up, and we're going to pass that along to them, while our regular customers may not go up. And I don't think people over there are really looking at that, are realizing that. I know they got all new lines in there, water lines, but they're not plastic. So it'll be.
Well, one thing, you know, for lack of a better word, the special assessment for our new water plant doesn't affect them. So.
Pardon?
The special assessment, we are not charging, right? We're not charging that we are. We are not. Yeah.
We are not.
Because see, I was a little confused at that at the special board meeting.
Voted on.
Exactly.
Just to.
Exactly. So what these folks were complaining about didn't happen. We're not charging them for any new water plant.
And that's what I was trying to, maybe I would explain it wrong. And we won't, but their rates can go up.
And drastically, instead of having.
We won't have any control on that.
400 other customers to share that increase, they're going to take it all on the nose.
But aside from the base rate, I just want to point out that, you know, we're getting $7.41 per thousand, and our wholesale price is $3.47.
So we're making, okay.
I mean, but what I'm concerned about is that, you know, South Sangamon is now at $9.65, and we're charging the customers $10.36. Was there a rationale? I don't understand if there was a percentage rationale.
Or the spread.
The other thing that concerns me is we have CWLP customers with the master meter, that their rates were only $6.09 per thousand.
You have two different people calling, yeah.
They're CWLP water.
Two different agreements, that's the problem.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody looked at them as far as continuity, you know, I mean.
There was never a look back, there's always.
So it might be a good time to.
Part of straightening this all out is to right the wrongs of the past, the previous management who clearly didn't have their eyes open.
Well, I think it was just everything was individual and nobody was looking.
Todd, I think you and Jim Mays and Cheryl will come up with a good formula. Okay?
I will call Cheryl tomorrow.
Okay. Do we need to go into executive session for anything? No? Good. Any personnel matters need to be discussed? Nothing? Anybody else has any question for the board? No? Seeing no other questions? No information comes before the board stands adjourned. Cheryl on the right track.
And figure it out and have a little.
Okay, give me that.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it in there, that's my fault.
You got about 8 points.
Let's look at 7 minutes.
Since you're going to be talking about draws and payments and all that, probably Captain and I should be.
That'd be fine if you want.
I can't work. I can't multitask.
Are you in Pittsburgh?
What's labor law chapter in the building?
I can give you that number. If you go, you'll see a lot of times I'll turn the volume down, which is not really, and I don't hear you, but if you leave, you can leave the message.
I agree with that. I think we should take our time to do one.
But Danny,
he signed up.
I know, my phone, this one's $25.
To make sure, you know, I mean, what.
Okay, Mr. Door, I'm ready.
Shoot.
What do you got?